We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I'm your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, it's been a hot second. Us coaches got to do some stuff, but we are back. Opening day is upon us. If you're listening, if you're watching or listening to this tonight, it's tomorrow. If you're watching or listening to this on opening day, happy opening day to you and those who celebrate this spectacular holiday. How are you?
Doing well. Good to be back. Good to see you. I know we've been busy, but it's opening day, so it's time to get going. It's time to be back.
And I come in with this big old extravagant speech that I didn't even prepare. Came in completely unprepared. I don't even know what we're talking about. The opening day. I don't know what we're talking about. We've been watching some Angels baseball, though. I'm excited. Nate, I know we're ready. We're ready to set expectations. I think that's the best thing that we can do right now is set expectations. And if the Angels exceed expectations,
outstanding.
Everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. But let's set expectations here on this podcast. But before we do that, just want to thank you all for sticking around, hanging in there with us here at Talking Halos. Again, happy opening day. Man, I am so excited. Baseball is back. It is 30-something degrees outside for me right now. We're playing baseball up here. I know it's a lot more beautiful down in Southern California, but take it and watch baseball on a daily basis up until the All-Star break when we have those days off. But, man, I'm excited. Again, thank you for sticking in there with us here at Talking Halos. Go ahead and follow us on all our social medias, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself on Twitter, on X, Jared_Timms. You can follow Nate at NateGreen34. Do not forget to subscribe to this podcast. We will be back, whether it's good or bad this year, talking Angels baseball to you, breaking it down. I'm excited, man. This is so much fun, man. Baseball season's upon us. I was on another podcast earlier today just talking some Angels prospects. It excites me. The grind is on. We are here. We are here to talk some Angels baseball. Please subscribe. Let's get it rolling. Nate, Angels baseball. Let's talk about it a little bit. I don't know where we're going with this. I've been just kind of sputtering on about little things. Let's set some expectations up front here, though.
Okay. Of course.
You have a young team coming out there. This probably one of the younger teams that the Angels have rolled out there on opening day in quite some time. I don't know if I'm sure somebody will have the stats on it and things like that. I'm going to guess it's one of the younger teams Angels have rolled out there in quite some time. I'm trying to think, you could probably push it back even to the, you know, to the playoff era, 2010s.
Like in there.
2010s. Yeah. I'd say at least 10 years in the last 10 years, this is the youngest team the Angels are rolling out there. There's a good chunk of upside on this Angels team. A lot to be excited about. A lot of things that the Angels can do right this year to take steps forward. And it does not necessarily mean the Angels need to make the playoffs to have a successful season this year. That is just a bonus. Is that fair to say, Nate?
No, because at the end of the day, like the goal is to win. So like,
I don't think the goal is to win this year. I know as much as Perry Mason says, I know everybody's goal
is to win. Every single manager is stepping into stepped into spring training. They had their first meeting and they said, fellas, our goal is to make the playoffs and to win the World Series. Every single team, even the Oakland A's, are saying that. and everyone's saying the Oakland A's could win 45 games. It doesn't matter. I heard last year too with the Cubs. Everyone was like, "Oh, you know, they're probably not going to make the playoffs." And you watch Dave Ross or David Ross go in and do his speech beforehand and go, "Fellas, we get paid to win. And if you want to continue to play this game, we got to figure out ways to win." And that's what our goal is. And I guarantee you, Ron Washington has that same fire and attitude of like, we got to figure out ways to win. So I think if you ask Wash, he will say like under 500 is unacceptable. Missing the playoffs is unacceptable. And now us as Angel fans, should we say making the playoffs is just outstanding? That would be like winning the World Series for this group because we haven't seen it in a while. But yeah, I think that the goal is still to win. You still have one of, if not the best player in the sport on your team. You still have some young pieces and you're still paying a lot of money. Like you're still in the top 12 of payroll in Major League Baseball. So you got to figure out a way to win with that.
Okay. So winning, being a 500 team, is that a successful season to you? Because it's more wins than the Angels had with Shohei Ohtani, and I know we're going to put
Sure.
emphasis on that.
I would say that's a step in the right direction. I wouldn't say it's a success. I don't think you can call any season a success unless you end up with some sort of playoff win.
I misspoke then. Let's take a step in the right direction.
Yeah,
500
I
baseball is
think
a step in the
that's
right direction.
fair, right? Like winning more games than you lose, like that's taking a step in the right direction. That's what you're looking for out of this team. But like to set expectations, like that's one of my least favorite things to do is for teams to be like, oh, we're gonna set expectations low, and if we get there, like it's gonna be awesome. It's like no, because when you set expectations low, you will hit your low expectations. So they need high expectations, and they need to be able to hit it or come close to it. And if the expectation is a playoff team, and you know they finish where the Mariners did last year or where the Cubs did last year, where they're a game out, like that's great. But that's got to be the expectation in the clubhouse. Now, for you and me, is that the expectation? I don't
I
think
was about
so.
to say that. I'm like in the club, it's a different feel in the clubhouse. Like any team we're going into, like I could go into Vanguard and be like, man, we're winning the Natty this year. No, very well knowing you guys probably aren't going to win Natty.
Well, we could.
You could 100%, but at the same time, in the clubhouse, a little different than what we're going to talk about. Like I want to set, we got to set expectations better for fans. You can't go into, I'm just glad nobody's saying the Angels are going to win 90 games this year. There's that
You're
monkey
not
is
going to
not.
predict that?
I'm not going to predict that
You've
this year.
done that the last 3 years and you've been close.
Shut up. I predicted it one time. Okay. Predicted
Twice.
one time.
Twice.
Legit prediction one time. Everything else, it was like every single year before this was the Angels could be a 72 win team. They could be a 90 win team. I don't know. And everybody said, a lot of people said, I won't say everybody said that, but a lot of people said that on the last couple of years. So yes, you can give me all the shit in the world. That's totally fine. But just realize that I give you one time for that. It was not 3 years. So expectations are set. Let's be a 500 team this year for the Angels. That's I step in the right direction. Win more games than you had with Shohei Ohtani. Show that you can win games without Shohei Ohtani, because I think that's a big factor that a lot of people aren't going to talk about and are not talking about right now. And I think we're going to continue to push this notion, especially if the Angels win some ball games early, that the Angels are able to get into a rhythm. Angels pitching in particular are able to get on a roll in a six-man rotation and know who is pitching every fifth day, rather than, well, Shohei Ohtani is pitching this day and Canning, you might go that day, you might go this day. Sandoval, you may go that day. Detmers, you may go that way. No, you are penciled in every fifth day and you have that start. So that is probably the biggest thing for me that I'm looking at, is now, without Shohei Ohtani, what that rotation looks like. And I'm taking nothing away from spring training other than that they threw strikes, and that is a big key to success, is throwing a lot of strikes and not walking a lot of guys. But everything resets with opening day. So I don't know if you have anything else you want to say about that. You're smiling. Pitching coach is
Yeah,
here.
well, when you say throw strikes is a big thing, it just makes me think of the Washington Nationals and what they posted in their bullpen. Says nobody cares how hard you threw ball for, and I just think that's a great comment because, like, honestly, that's great. You throw 98 miles an hour, but if you're walking everyone, it don't matter. So yeah, I think the expectations, honestly, I have them winning 83 games this year. And I know that's a big difference from what I normally have. I have them over 500. I have them being somewhat competitive, not really like playoff competitive, but like way more competitive than we've seen them be in the last couple of years, last 5 or 6 years. I think that this team is going to surprise some people. I think you're going to see some young guys step up. The biggest question, though, is how many of these young guys are actually going to step up. If it's one or two, you're probably going to be closer to that 76 to 78 range. If three or four of the young guys step up, or four or five of the young guys step up, this team is going to win, 82, 83, 84 games. So I have 83. That's just me. I have a little bit more excitement this year with this team. I wish there was a little bit. I wish there was not. I wish they had one more starting pitcher and one less starting pitcher on the team, like a substitute, if you will, for one guy. But other than that, I think that it's going to be fun to watch some of these guys play.
Yeah, like a DH for pitchers. I get what you're saying. Definitely. 100%.
N
For
no,
sure.
no, no. Just cut one guy and add another guy in.
No, I know what you want to say. Question on that, and it's kind of interesting thought, because we went through each division earlier today off the record. If the Angels were in the AL Central, would they be
No.
competing in the AL Central?
It depends on what you mean competing.
Well,
Cleveland said
with
they
this
competed
exact
last year.
with
Cleveland said they competed last year and they finished 11 games out. That's not competing. They finished in second and they finished like 11 games out. I'm gonna double check that number. But
I mean, take for what it's worth, Fangraphs has the Twins winning 84 games. You just had the Angels winning 83 games.
yeah.
So the Angels are competing in the Central.
If Fangraphs is right, and who knows if Fangraphs is right, because I believe Fangraphs last year had the Angels winning 87 games and being a borderline playoff team. Yes. And the year before, they had the Angels winning 90 games, because that was the year where you got all excited. It was 2 years ago. So, yes, if it's correct, sure. But I mean, I think Fangraphs had the Twins winning about 84 games last year. And the Twins won 87 games, which is completely different. And let's see, Twins.
I actually don't. I don't know, man. It was just a hypothetical question, just because I saw Fangraphs that ranked. They had the Twins winning the Central at 84 games. You had the.
Cleveland finished 11 games out. They finished third. Detroit finished second. So Detroit did pass them. But would they compete? Sure. But like, I don't think you can play that game. You know what league you're in. You've been in the league for a long time,
Was a
and
hypothetical question. Just play the damn game.
your goal is to win games. Who cares what league you're in?
Oh
Just go
my
win
God.
baseball games. It don't
Okay.
matter.
Well, you're no fun tonight. So
I
there's
know.
yeah, we can't even play a game tonight. So we might as well just end this podcast, because there may no be might not be any more hypothetical questions. So you have the Angels winning 83 games. I'll say the Angels win, I want to say 82. I hate that you were that close. I want to say 82, so I should have said mine first. I
Yeah,
did say
I know.
mine.
That's why I threw mine out there first. Because normally I'm under 500. I think
I know.
last year I think I was 81, and this year I think I have more wins, which is crazy to say.
I just want the Angels, and this is me being maybe a little petty. If you've listened and watched this show for a while, I want the Angels to win more games without Shohei Ohtani, because the Angels have never had a winning didn't have a winning record with Shohei Ohtani. I really want to just prove the point and make it known and make it true that the Angels did not need Shohei Ohtani, and Shohei Ohtani was actually not a nuisance, but like just not what the Angels needed to go win baseball games, and they should have actually traded him. But we're not going to get on to that side of things right now. Let's talk about key players besides Mike Trout. I asked this question the other day on Twitter. Is there somebody not named Mike Trout that could be an all-star?
I mean, absolutely. There's a couple of guys that could be an all-star besides Mike Trout. I mean, you look at Taylor Ward. Taylor Ward has been a good player when he was healthy a couple of years back, and then last year he was a good player, not great player. He has an opportunity if he comes back and looks how he did in spring. He's a possibility. I mean, everyone's gonna cite the Logan Ohapi numbers from his 40 games last year, and if he was on pace for this many games, like there are guys.
You did tell me earlier that you thought Logan Ohapi might hit 40 this year, I think, right?
I did not.
Yeah.
Good try though. And I mean, Zach Neto's a kid, right? Like shortstop is like a really tough position to win an all-star. But I mean, if Neto goes out there and breaks out of his mind, there's a possibility for him. So I think the biggest thing though, like if you're looking at this, where are the spots that are going to be tough for teams to get a all-star, right? Like first base is one. I don't see Shane Wells as an all-star. I'm sorry. Catcher is one, right? Like you really think Adley Rutschman and maybe Cal Riley is who you're gonna compete with for that spot, and then you can throw in a couple other guys, Jose Trevino and the Astros kid. Like there's gonna be some kids that can be an all-star there, but I think honestly the deep sleeper is third base, right? You got Jose Ramirez, and you've got Josh Jung, who if he's healthy, he's a possibility. Alex Bregman has been a slow starter in the past. He hasn't been like amazing early on. Anthony Rendon is the guy who needs to be an all-star for this team to be good. Like he needs to be. I know like that's everyone's gonna say, well, he has to actually be on the field, and I agree. But like when he has been on the field, it has been good. And I think with some other things, he's more likely to be on the field a little bit more and potentially being an all-star. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star. I'm just saying that he has the upside of being an all-star if
We're
he's on
gonna
the field
get. We will
for.
be recording. This is being recorded. So when
Yeah.
you're gonna call me out on it,
That's
when.
fine. You had 95 wins. We'll go back to the tape if we want to. I'm not saying Anthony Rendon is an all-star by any means, but I'm saying that like who he's been in the past, what we've seen out of him so far, him as a leadoff hitter, it might be really, really good for him to just go up there and see some fastballs early and try and get on base because he's a pretty good job. He does a pretty good job of getting on base. Like the power might not be there, but everything else, if he's hitting doubles and he's getting on base and walking, like he's got a possibility. You didn't say who's going to be. You said possibility. And then I'll throw in one starting pitcher just because I'm always high on him, and I'll stay high on him is Chase Silseth. I think he's got the stuff to make the All-Star game. He's the guy who, if he pitches well, you're looking at him at the All-Star break on, wow, he's got 2.85 ERA. What the heck? Like, so I think that's the real guy is Chase Silseth, Taylor Ward. But obviously Neto, Ohapi, Rendon, like if they play well, yeah, sure. But I think Ward and Silseth are like the two guys who potentially will play the best to get them a shot.
Again, the Angels are, dare I say, the Angels are set up to succeed this year because nobody's banking on them being good. You know, deep down, you kind of like what they're rolling out there. The biggest thing is going to be the health and guys staying healthy and guys being able to continuously produce. That's the big thing there. And again, when
Pitching.
I
Pitching is the biggest question mark for me.
Yep,
Like,
absolutely.
are you going to be able to pitch? Like, Patrick Sandoval cannot pout every time something doesn't go his way. Griffin Canning
You're just waiting for
can.
that one, weren't you?
I was. So you set me up. Thank you for the BP fastball. But Griffin Canning cannot be a guy who's going to throw 105 pitches in 4 2/3, 5 innings. Like, he's got to be a guy who's going to pitch deep into games and get quick outs. Silseth's got to be a guy who's got to take that next step forward. Detmers has to be the Detmers that ended the season. He cannot be the Detmers who started the season. And
Oh, just
Tyler Anderson
flying.
just needs to be competent. Like if Tyler Anderson's competent, then this rotation probably will be okay. But yeah, the starting pitching scares me badly because there's just a lot of like praying every time certain guys take the mound, and it feels like there's three guys that every time they take the mound, you're like, just please be average. Just go 5 innings and give up 5 runs, and we'll figure out a way to win. But
More times than not, they're not getting through five and they're not giving up, less than five. So I don't know. That's what the big question mark for me is. I think the offense will be okay. I think Wash will have this offense and this defense better than last year. I think the stolen bases will be up. I think the way that they play the game will be better. But the biggest question mark is you can only do what so much with the talent you're given. And I think the starting pitching is lacking just some talent.
Yeah, we again talk about a lot of stuff off the record. Seems like the Angels have a possible okay. The Angels have two number threes, a number four, a number five, and a number six. They just need to be better pitching wise, and you need guys to step up too. That's the biggest thing there. You need guys to step up, and is Patrick Sandoval possibly a number two? Yeah, but you need him to step up. You mentioned it. Is Reed Detmers a low end two, really good number three? He has a chance to be, but he needs to step up and be that guy all year. Tyler Anderson, I said he's a six, I think, or I said he's a five. Like he needs to find a way to get back, not to what he was with the Dodgers, but he needs to
Four,
figure out a
two,
way to,
four, five,
yeah,
somewhere in there.
find a way to get four, five, six innings pitched every single night and give up,
If he's
three
somewhere in the
runs.
4.2 to 4.5 ERA, you're super, super happy. Like
Yeah.
he's not going to be a sub three guy. He's not even going to be a low three guy. He's a at best he's a low to mid four guy. And if he's there, then you're super, super happy with Tyler Anderson.
Yeah, but
I
everybody
think the most impressive kid to me is Chase Silseth. I know they're talking about Griffin Canning and how good, but like to see what Silseth did to that Dodger lineup yesterday, or 2 days, I guess yesterday for us, 2 days ago for the people listening on opening day. I think that's amazing. Like that lineup is for real. They're rolling guys out there. They're probably a week or two ahead of actual regular major league hitters because they had to hit in major league games a week and a half ago when they played the Padres that in a game that counted. So the fact that he was able to go out there and strike out 10 and just be competitive for 5 innings is huge. I think that kid has a chance to be very, very special, but he's got to be healthy and he's got to continue to be competitive with some of his off speed. Like he can't hang stuff and he can't throw things 48 feet. Like his splitter's got to be 59 feet or, competitive enough where it gives him a chance to get an out. So, but I really like Chase Silseth. You know that. I think he has a shot to be the best pitcher on the Angel staff at the end of the year.
I mean, absolutely. And people don't like when I say it. I'm going to continue to say Shohei Ohtani type stuff. He really
I
does.
mean the repertoire is pretty similar.
Exactly.
Splitty, the overhand curve, the upper nines fastball, and the slider. Like I don't know if the slider's as good as Ohtani's was, but if he can throw that thing real good, he's got a shot to put up some stupid numbers.
Absolutely. And be a team guy and throw the splitter every once in a while too. So, Nate, you got any final thoughts before we let everybody go?
It's going to be an interesting year. How long does Jose Suarez last on this roster? Over under, what do you got?
That's the question that we had that I already and opening day roster hasn't come out yet, right? Like we don't
Yeah.
I apologize. We didn't wait for it. We should have waited. It's probably coming out probably as we release this podcast, I would assume. Or maybe tomorrow morning, but it's not out yet. We don't know if he's on the opening day roster yet, Nate.
How
I'm
long
not.
does he last? Over under 3 weeks.
They will keep him around. He'll be here in June. He'll be in unless he's really bad. Wow. Unless he's really bad, he'll be here till June. I mean, I don't. Do I agree with it? No. But you got to cut the cord at some point. I gave him 2 years, Nate. I gave him 2 years. All right. You've given him a lot less time. I gave him 2 years. I'm in agreement with you. Like he needs to show right away that he is capable of being a pitcher, or else you have to move on. Especially if you're on Washington and Perry Mason and saying, hey, to the clubhouse, hey, we're gonna win. Like you cannot keep a guy like that around too much longer. However, if he's pitching good, you ride
Yeah,
that
that's
out.
fine.
You
If he's
ride it out.
pitching good out of the pen, that's fine. That's a different story. But
I'm worried that
Yeah, no,
it won't be
that's
good.
fine. That was your question. That's what we had to work with there. So, really, I mean,
There's so many question marks with this team. Like Miguel Sano's on the roster.
we could have talked about this for an hour and a half. I'm not, I don't, we don't need to talk about it for an hour and a half, guys. Really don't. We will be back. What is today? Today's Wednesday. We will be back
Sunday
Friday,
after the
either Friday
series.
or Monday. We'll figure it
Well,
out then. We'll definitely figure it out. We're going to try to come to you guys 3 times a week during the season, talk some Angels baseball, make sure that everybody is happy, rolling, and I'm excited. I'm just excited for baseball, minor leagues, all that fun stuff. So, with all that being said, thank you so much for watching and listening. Go ahead, hit that subscribe button if you have not. Pound that subscribe button. Let us know how you feel about the Angels. Let us know, how you like this podcast. You can follow myself on X at Jared underscore Tim's Nate at NateGreen34. Guys, thank you so much for listening and watching. Have a great rest of your day.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.